You are listening to Real World News.
Liberia is an extremely food insecure country. 60% of its food is imported. This country is being increasingly threatened by the advance of agribusiness, mining, and logging companies. But recently, one of the many communities threatened by these corporations had a win. Jagubang clan managed to stop the advance of a British palm oil company, Equatorial Palm Oil. We're talking to Silas Saikor, campaigner at Sustainable Development Institute, an organization that supports the struggle of this community. So first of all, welcome to Real World Radio, Silas.
Thank you very much for having me.
Silas, let's start talking about the community. Where are they, the main activities, how many people live there, and how is the livelihood of them?
The Jagubang community is located in Grand Bassa County. Grand Bassa is one of the coastal counties in the southeastern part of Liberia. It has one of the largest ports, and there is a lot of forest in the county. Jagubang is located further inland, and the population is approximately between 5,000 to 7,000 people. And they have lived on this land for generations. Their ancestors have lived there, and all of those can be evidenced by the age of different graves that are in the towns and villages that make up the clan.
Great, Silas. The government of Liberia signed away the clan's lands to a British palm oil company, Equatorial Palm Oil, without their consent, right? Can you talk about how this problem started?
Well, this concession dates as far back as the 1960s when it was first granted to an oil palm company. It changed hands a couple of times and ended up in the hands of a man called Joseph Jaudi, who's a member of the Jaudi family, a Lebanese business family in Liberia, just before the war. And after the war, he then came back, and we started negotiations with the government. The government allocated the concession to him in 2007, December. But by 2008, January, he turned around and sold Libing, at the time, the Liberia Oil Palm Incorporated, to Equatorial Palm Oil in January. So he held onto the contract for just 1 month. He did not invest any money in the company. He then turned it over and sold it to Equatorial Palm Oil. Equatorial Palm Oil has been in possession of the concession since 2008. The area covers around 30,500 acres. Some of that area was already cultivated for oil palm before the war, about 15,000 acres. But the company and the government did not do any survey on the ground. They did not consult with the communities at the time when the concession was allocated. So in 2012, when the company started attempting to resurvey the community land area, they said to them, absolutely not. You cannot survey our land. This is our customary land. We live here. This is all we have to support ourselves, to grow our food, to earn income, to send our children to school, to look after the medical needs of our family. Therefore, we cannot allow you to take over our land. So since 2012, there's been a back and forth disagreement between the company and the community. For most of 2013, the government stood very firmly behind the company in this effort to grab the community's land. But by the end of 2013, the community has shown such unwavering commitment in their struggle, and they have made it very clear that they were not going to relent and they were not going to allow the company to take over their land. At that time, the government actually deployed paramilitary units in the community for the whole of September and part of October to insist that the company survey the land that it wanted to demarcate from the community land area. Throughout this time, we have been working with them, and through that, we were able to bring a complaint to the RSPO, which has been very, very slow in responding to the complaint. However, as international pressure due to support from our international partners began to mount, and as the community continued to resist the company's expansion, the president then decided to intervene in March 2014. So she requested a meeting with representatives of the communities. We brought about two, three dozen community members to that meeting. About three of them went into the meeting with the president. They had 2 hours of discussion and made it emphatically clear to the president that they would not allow EPO to take over their land. After that meeting, the president gave them her word that she will ensure that the company respects their right to say no, and that for land that had already been taken without their consent, they will go into negotiations with the company in order for them to clarify or to lay out what conditions, what are their conditions under which the company could continue to operate the land that it had already taken. But clearly saying to them that we will no longer force you, we will no longer intimidate you into a situation to allow the company to take over your land. Unfortunately, the company, as we speak, has not acknowledged the president's comments. The company continues to press ahead. It is still attempting to conduct HCV assessments, high conservation value assessments in the area, in fulfillment of some of its obligations under the RSPO principles and criteria. 3 weeks ago, the communities resisted the assessors from entering into the territory. Basically saying to them, we do not wish the company to expand onto our land, so there is absolutely no need for you to do any high conservation value forest assessment. So we are in a situation right now where there is a standoff between the communities and the community and the company. The president made a pronouncement in March, but that has not been followed up yet with very concrete actions on the ground.
Okay, Silas, if you had to do some highlights on the struggle of the community, which ones would you remark?
I think there are a couple of key highlights that need to be noted. The first thing is that the community has been extremely united, very unified in their struggle. And as a result of that, their resistance has been really, really difficult to break. And even though the company and their collaborators have made a sustained effort to try to bring in division within the community, they have stood together throughout our engagement with them. Secondly, they have been very, very straightforward in their demand. They simply said, we do not wish you to expand any further onto our territory. You remain where you are. We will have a discussion about land that you've already taken, but we do not wish to have any discussion with you whatsoever for new land to be annexed to your concession. So I think clarity in their demands have been central, and the fact that they've been very unified and they've stood together, it has been a fact. Those have been some of the factors that have really enabled them to succeed the way they have succeeded in their struggle.
Great, Silas. Can you talk to us about this company, Equatorial Palm Oil? They have another project in Liberia?
Equatorial Palm Oil is actually a very new company. It was established just, actually it's a merger that kind of evolved out of the Liberia Forest Products, which is one company, and then the Nibing Oil Palm. The two of them come together under the Equatorial Palm Oil umbrella in 2008. 2009, the company, by 2010, the company then registered as a member of the RSPO. It has a really interesting and very checkered history, I should say, because some of those that have been involved in the initial establishment of the company have got very dodgy reputations, some of which I cannot go into details right now, but very questionable characters, I would say. Another factor that we have seen with the company just until recently, Joseph Dowdy was a board member of the company. He he was holding about 20% shares in the company. And who is Joseph Dowdy? Joseph Dowdy is head of the Adi Dowdy family, which has very, very strong relationships with the current president. They go back many, many years, very well connected within the current government. The Dowdy has got a lot of different contracts for construction and other services, very lucrative indeed. And some of those contracts are being at the center of a whole range of different corruption allegations. So until he left the company 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago, he was actually, I would say, the central figure that had the companies that was the kind of influential person within the company that had the connections with the political establishment that enabled them to continue to intimidate, to harass, to molest people in the community the way they did. So it is interesting that that political connection is now gone because Joseph Dowdy is no longer on the board. So it will be interesting to see how the current leadership within the company can hold up. What worries me, though, is that a new big player within the company, KLK, which is Kuala Lumpur, is a Malaysian company, the fifth largest oil palm company in Malaysia, now has 63% shares within the company, which means that it is moving more and more towards becoming a full Malaysian company. And we are very concerned by that development because if the UK, if the European angle is eliminated, that could pose some serious challenges for us because the Asian companies have not shown practical respect for human rights, not in Asia, and we don't expect them to respect human rights or community rights in Liberia.
Okay, Sila Saikor, campaigner at Sustainable Development Institute, thank you very much for your time. And we are really glad to hear about a struggle of a community that was successful. So thank you very much again, Silas.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You are listening to Real World News.